As we take time today and this upcoming week, the pause to reflect is today's title, but let's kind of take that as something that we can do this week in particular, reflecting on a number of things. But as we slow down, and I know that in a busy world that's hard to do, I encourage each one of us that we take a few minutes every day to reflect on maybe something we've read, maybe something somebody said to us, maybe something that we woke up in the middle of the night thinking about. But as we pursue some of that today, I want to begin with prayer, and I invite you to join me. Most kind, wonderful, loving Father, Son, and Spirit, God, we thank you for our very lives, for your presence in our lives from young to old. As we go through each day, God, it is a blessing. It is a gift. And we thank you for this second Sunday of Advent, for the peace, the messenger that is being discussed. God, there is so much going on in this world, and we just look to you and know that you are directing and working with each individual. And in today's message, I ask that you would change the words, change the hearing, whatever is necessary, so that each one hears specifically what you have prepared for each one of us. God, I thank you and I praise you in your Son's name. Amen. Our sermon text today, and it was discussed in the video, Luke chapter 1, 68 through 79. For this second Sunday in Advent shows the priest Zechariah, John the Baptist's father, taking pause to reflect on his newborn son. A number of factors are going into this. Zechariah couldn't speak. He had been struck mute, where he could not converse because he didn't think it was possible. But here we are. And his wife, Elizabeth, has a son. John's mother, we don't know the baby's name was John, but that's a reference, announces that the baby's name would be John. And in that culture, that was so odd because normally they would take a family name, one of those names that ever kind of rotates through generation after generation after generation. And I know in my particular family, there's two names that follow in the male line. William and Samuel show up every generation or every other generation. So it's not something that is new. But again, in this culture, John was not something that those expected. And Zechariah is there, and he confirmed this by writing, his name is John. And following this, amazingly enough, he had the ability to speak. Can you imagine going months without being able to speak, converse with others, and then it's back. You have your voice. All those things you wanted to say, you can now do that. And it's hard to fathom how much Zechariah was thinking about. But I want to think about the other side of this. There's a brand new baby, and I think most of us have held a brand new baby. And I know, remembering back with my daughters, each one I would be holding, and it's like, how is this possible? How can this be possible? And you're looking, and I'm one of those people that just kind of, I'm wired this way. I'm thinking, your whole life's in front of you. What is going to be a part of your life? You know, and you're looking, and this is such a special time with your child, and you're thinking and praying about their life. for God to protect them, for God to give wisdom to me as a father. And I believe Zechariah would have been feeling very much the same thing, only he knew this was a special birth. He didn't get to talk for months, so he knew there was something pretty special. But can you imagine everything about John the Baptist that we know? Zechariah didn't know details, but he knew it was a big deal. And he's looking at his son. I can just imagine the emotion that is caught up in his time thinking about all of those variables. What we have today is a text that Luke 1, 68 through 79. It is called the Song of Zechariah. Filled with the Holy Spirit, it's a prophetic poem. Flows from Zechariah as he gazes with delight upon his newborn son. And these words are maybe something that he's thought of for months and not been able to get out. But we know in Luke 1 and verse 69 that this baby, this son, this man, John the Baptist, was there to prepare a way for a mighty Savior. Did Zechariah know? Did he suspect? There's a lot that's wrapped up in him holding and gazing at his son and the words that came from him. As we think about this poem, this song, in verse 68, it starts out, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has looked favorably on his people and redeemed them." What do you think God sees when he looks at you? And he does. He looks at each one of us. Does he look at us as that newborn, knowing our life and thinking about all of the things that will be wrapped up in our life? Many people, when they would answer this question of what do you think God sees when he looks at you, is maybe a scowl, disappointment, anger, a disapproving look. People view themselves that way. To imagine correctly is to see God looking favorably upon us. That's what this verse is. God looks favorably upon us. Not merely gazing at our behavior with judgment, as so much of humanity would say, but looking into the loving eyes of a father upon his own child. Then this child is made into his father's likeness. And you've pictured, I'm sure you've watched someone hold their baby, their newborn. And the look in their eyes, the look on their face is such a rewarding, kind love. They want the best for this baby. God looks at us favorably. He has that look. If we could see, which we can't, but we could recognize how much he sees and loves and cares for us. In that one verse, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has looked favorably on his people and redeemed them." Not only does he look favorably on us, he has redeemed us because he knew we would make mistakes. We would have failures. It is just an incredible thing to think about God and what he has been doing for us before there was an us. The world and the people around you might have deemed us unworthy. You might have felt yourself that you're unworthy. And there's a lot of people that would tell you that they are not worthy. I was reading an article this morning, and it was talking about a serial killer. and his comment to his daughter that came to see him in prison. And he said, I have done too much for God to heal, for God to forgive. I can't be forgiven. Which is a falsehood, but that's what this man believed. And he went to his death believing that. But the redemptive nature of God revealed in Christ redeems us. You are worthy. There's no question. You are. In verse 69, he has raised you up, a mighty Savior for us in the house of his child, David. He chose from the family of Jesse, the lowest and the last to lead the nation. And you can go and read the story of David. He was, to use a term, he was the runt of the family. He was the least likely. He wasn't even invited to the viewing party to select which son would be king, because he was just this young guy that took care of the sheep. But God chose him. I'm going to have a song that will be played. It's a little lengthy, but I want you, as you listen to this song, I want you to picture that this song is being sung to you individually, not this group, but this song is from God to you. And that's how I really ask for you to listen to this song.
I am not disappointed in you. I never have been, and I never will be. I'm not embarrassed or confused, thinking you better improve yourself or else I'm done with you. No, I'm not disappointed in you. I'm not ashamed of you, thinking what a letdown. I'm not frustrated or accusing, bitter or abusive. I am love, and I love you. I'm not bored with you. I'm celebrating. Chip off the old block at home in this beautiful place. Never doubting you. No need to shout at you. Hey, I think you're amazing, though sometimes a little crazy. How I love to dance with you. No need to shout at you. Hey, I think you're amazing, though sometimes a little crazy. How I love to laugh with you. I am not disappointed in you. I never have been, and I never will be. I'm not embarrassed or confused, thinking you better improve yourself or else I'm done with you. No, I'm not disappointed in you. I'm not ashamed of you, thinking what a letdown. I'm not frustrated or accusing, bitter or abusive. I am love, and I love you.
One of those things that I hope we can spend time and reflect on, how much God loves you. It is so easy to let the world tell us what we're not. So that's why I chose to play this song, and it does go a little slow, but the message to me is absolutely huge. God blesses us. God's approval, he approves of us. He encourages us. And God blesses each one of us. The language of blessing can flow in different ways. We can bless God. God can bless us. And we can bless each other. When God blesses a person, that is a promise. And God brings it to pass. When people bless God, it is a statement of confidence based on faith in God, unfailing love for humanity and all creation. We're confident because God is the one that backs it up. How do we do this? An example of blessing may extend to another person. And Numbers 6, verses 24 through 26. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. When it talks about lifting up his countenance, it's an expression of his approval. So God lifts up and approves upon you and gives you peace. Zechariah's song offers the gift of light for those who sit in darkness, in the shadow of death, as well as the gift of guidance into the way of peace. And that's the last verse of his song. You'll notice we started 1, 2, maybe 3 verses, and we're clear to the end. There's a lot in this Zechariah song. We don't have time to go through everything. But you can this week take a few minutes and read through and look at those verses. It is an incredible journey, and this was something that Zechariah had been welling up, apparently, in him, to holding his newborn son, to speaking this out. As Christ followers, we are to demonstrate what kingdom living is like. Do you demonstrate? Do you let God lead you? Do you let him speak into your heart? Knowing that, no, he's not disappointed. He's not bored. He's not unhappy with us. He loves us greatly. Ask Jesus for other ways besides prayer. I want to stop right there for a second. Within that statement, there is an assumption that there is prayer involved in what you do in your life. So ask Jesus for other ways besides prayer that you might participate with him in being a blessing to another. Yesterday at our mistletoe experience of Make It Take It, it was a slow morning. We'd had one, maybe two people, and a lot of sitting around and looking at each other. Answered prayer happened shortly after that. I was messaged by a member asking how it was going, and I mentioned it was slow and to be praying. And literally, I looked up and the line came through the door. Yesterday was more about blessing other people. The lady that I talked about earlier with the coasters, this was a big deal for her. I could see how this was playing out. She was making a memory. And we got to participate in that memory development, watching little kids come in and so excited, just bouncing around the room to do something that they were making. Maybe it was for their parents, I don't know, but they were pumped. And there were a couple of kids that came back more than once, and they were having a blast. They were being blessed by God, and we got to participate in that blessing. So as this week rolls out, I do encourage you to read Zachariah's song, his poem. Ask how this affects you. Ask what you can do. And again, look for ways and ask God to provide the ways to participate with him in blessing others. What will be fun is next week when you walk in, different ones share what God did in their life this week in helping bless other people. Look for those opportunities and remember them, share them. This is a God that is not disappointed with us. He's not disappointed with humanity. We are his children. He loves us. And he loves for us to help and provide for one another and to participate in what he is doing. You would join me in prayer. Loving Father, again, we are just incredibly blessed by you. God, thank you for redeeming each one, for taking care of our needs, for not being bored with us, for not being disappointed, because it's so easy for us to be disappointed in ourselves, because we fall short so many times. But God, you're right there. Your loving is right through every aspect, and thank you for that. And God, I just ask that you would take each one as this week rolls out, that you would give us wisdom and give us opportunity and then the initiative to step through that opportunity to participate in whatever you have for us. And I pray this in your son's name. Amen. I was looking at what I wanted to cover or read, and I reflected back to last week's verses, and because of that, we're going to read them again, because I think they were so meaningful and powerful in 1 Corinthians 11, 23 through 26. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, also he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." These aren't just words. This is Jesus sharing his body, his sacrifice for us, his excitement to know that we will be together in the future, that he is looking forward to that. He wants us to remember him, remember what it took to put the elements at the table. It's so easy to read through this and miss or not remember exactly what he has for us. It's far more than we can really grasp. I do believe that. But for what we can, we need to remember. We need to participate with him. Loving God, as we come to you with the elements at the table, God, I ask that you would bless the bread and the cup, that you would let us each see and think and realize and value Jesus Christ as your Son whom you love. God, we thank you that your love is so prevalent in the family with the Father, Son, and Spirit, that you want us to be a part, and through Jesus we are. And God, I just thank you and I praise you for the elements. I praise you for this opportunity and ask that you would guide each one. And thank you, God, that you love us. In Jesus' name, amen. Come as you feel led.
Let's pray. Father, we close our service as we started it with prayer to you. Thank you for bringing us together to worship you. We pray that not just during church, but also anytime, we look to you as the most important thing in our lives. Nothing is greater than you. Be with us as we conclude our service, and may the message we heard today remain with us through the coming week. And as the Advent season advances and we celebrate the birth of Jesus, may we be ever thankful for his love for us. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. And our benediction is 2 John 3. Grace, mercy, and peace be with us from God the Father and from Jesus Christ, the Father's Son, in truth and love. May peace be with you as you leave today.